In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good Monday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. This is 106.7 The Fan, August 12th, 2024, just after 2 o'clock. We are taking you all the way up to 6:30 today. Live on 106.7 The Fan, and we are back at full strength as a show. Danny, with a little more sun on his face, is back from vacation.
I am. I would say it's great to be back, but that would be a bold-faced lie. I don't want to start off that way. I love you boys. You're my guys, Grant and Ryan and Darius, and you folks kind enough to listen to this program. You mean everything to me, but I wish I was still on the beach with my feet up, hanging out, reading a book, and going in the water when I got hot, and then going out and getting hot again. I miss it already.
You just had your week.
I know.
What else do you need?
Another week.
Okay.
Maybe like 77,000 more weeks. And then I could then I could face it. No, but I'm getting to be back, dude. There was a football game. A football game.
Real life football game.
Football.
Should remind everybody you can watch us if you want to see Danny with a little bit of sun on the face. 106.7 The Fan YouTube page is where you can stream the show and the video throughout the day. We'll be live all over D.C., all over Richmond, and wherever you go coast to coast. On the Odyssey app all day and all week, right here on The Fan. But you said it. We got to start with preseason game number one. There was a lot of other sports internationally in D.C. this past weekend. The Olympics were great. We'll get to it all. But we got to begin right off the top with Jaden Daniels making his much-anticipated, long-awaited debut for Washington in the Meadowlands against the Jets. They come out, and a run-heavy drive goes 11 plays for 70 yards. The heavy lifting on that drive, a beautiful dime, deep shot. We find out after the fact that Daniels checked the play out at the line of scrimmage. He gets up to the line. He doesn't like how the coverage looked. Everybody was uptight playing bump against what was a wide receiver screen. Cliff Kingsbury had told him in practices, Danny, if you get this look against this play, then we're going to want to check out of that. And Jaden Daniels, who's very comfortable, obviously, got some moxie, likes to throw that deep ball as he did so well at LSU. He dialed up all goes, bunch of verticals, and then he dropped one in the bucket to De'Ami Brown, who made an outstanding contested catch, by the way, for a 42-yard completion. Just three throws for Daniels, a very small sample throwing the football, but that throw is all anybody's been talking about.
And rightfully so, because it was beautiful. I mean, that's all it was. I mean, it was perfect, right? Every subtlety, and we're going to pick apart every single thing, obviously, because we have such a small sample. You already said it. He only threw the ball three times. So if he threw 27 passes, we couldn't do that. But that ball, there's a bouncing movement in the pocket. There's an effortlessness, right, as he's kind of manipulating things. He's looking the safety off. That's a single high look, I think, and he's making sure the safety can't sprint over and you know, light up D'Ami Brown or intercept it or anything worse. And then the last possible second kind of ducks inside of a rusher and just flicks it like he's just, you know, pitching a ball to a seven-year-old on the beach. I just say that from recent experience. But just looks like it's the most effortless little thing in the world, and it's placed perfectly down the sideline to D'Ami Brown. No real separation there from old D'Ami Brown, but still makes a great catch in traffic. You couldn't have thrown it better. You quite literally could not have thrown the football better than he did, and that's why everyone's talking about it. Incredible.
You had to get your D'Ami Brown shot.
I got my dig in, yes.
42-yard completion with a guy draped on his back. Made a hell of a play, and you got to talk about his separation. Good for you. You're back in rare form. You just got off the beach.
That's right.
And you got your A game already.
The deep throw doesn't get open deep. Brought to you by number two.
He got open on that play. Beat his guy and made the catch. So we're going to talk off and on throughout the day about Daniels' performance and about what we should take out of the preseason, largely. Talking about Daniels, but also across the board. Like, if you see the rookie quarterbacks I want to get into at the top of the hour, J.J. McCarthy, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix. Now, there were some huge moments from the rookie class, to be sure. How much of this is relative and relevant to the regular season? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. You go back to last preseason, Sam Howell had that great game against the Ravens. You see guys lighting it up all over the league. I mean, in this game, Adrian Martinez had a couple of ridiculous throws for the Jets. He was the UFL MVP who may or may not make New York. So I don't know what to necessarily take out of every given play, given throw, whatever. Here's what I know. The ability at the line of scrimmage to have the stones. When you have thrown one pass in your history in the league, and it was a bad ball, frankly.
Yeah, it was very Carson Wentz again.
Forgetting that it was three throws. The first throw was really bad. It was like 100 miles an hour and over Austin Eckler's head. Nobody's talking about that, nor should we. It's a throw. Who cares? He was amped up. He had energy. Whatever. But my point in bringing it up is only to say, now I'm at the line and I'm going, well, I just had a screen to a running back that I threw 8,000 miles an hour over his head. Why don't we go down the field?
Yeah.
Like, that part is what I'm excited about. The fact that you saw what you needed to see, because that was why I wanted him to play in the preseason. You were out last week, but there was a lot of talk early in the week about, is he going to play in this game? Does he need to? Remember all the way going back to when Joey Theismann said, don't play him in the preseason. I wanted to see Jaden Daniels break a sweat and get up to the line of scrimmage and see what Cliff Kingsbury told him, when you see this, do something. And he did that. We got it right away. Forget that he dropped it in the bucket. That's amazing. That's awesome. But we know he can throw the deep ball, and we know he's got the big-time arm. The mental part of this, to me, is where the hairs on the back of the neck stand up a little bit, and you go, is this a thing? Could this be a thing? That's where I was excited.
Easy to be. I mean, again, the effortlessness with which he jogged into the end zone, knowing that there's about seven or eight other gears if he needed it, right, in terms of his sprint speed. But it was the play, it's open, it's done. He can, you know, just sort of casually jog to the corner. He did that. But knowing that there's more there to keep defenses off balance, that throw, how perfect it was. And you're right, that individual throw, we're going to rave about it. And right, again, rightfully so, because it was excellent. But it's everything around it that I think is probably more important, right? It's that, it's the command, it's... you know, reacting to things you've seen. It's that supercomputer that every quarterback needs to have of, all right, if I see this, then this. If this is my next data point, then that. If this safety shows that he's doing this, but he's really doing that. The disguises, the things that are going to be thrown at you. By the way, in a month's time, Todd Bowles is not here for your vacation. He's not here for you if you get a soft landing spot. He'll be blitzing the instant you get off the bus. So they're going to, you know, I'll have all sorts of crazy looks, different formations and things to try to confound you and an offensive line that's been kind of thrown together. And, you know, we'll talk about that, I'm sure, as the show goes on. A lot of good out of that offensive line, especially on the interior. Some question marks on the outside still persist. But for Daniel specifically, that first throw to Eckler, on that screen pass, it just looked so amped up, right? Didn't get his feet around, and it looked like he was trying to disguise and not let everyone know that's where it was going. Just never got right and just shredded that thing 1,000 miles an hour, just nowhere close. And it felt like after that he went, okay, right? Yeah. Whether it was that first time you got hit by a pitch or your first at bat, whatever. Oh, that's over now. Whatever that was is gone. It's out of my system. I can now be myself.
Yeah, you're allowed those at this point of your career and in the preseason specifically. It's going to happen. I think he continued his strong summer. That's what I would say. Mm. Like, if I am writing the lead here, it's not a he's arrived or it's over, you know, put it in Sharpie. The superstar has cometh, right? It's just a everything that he's been doing this summer so far has been in the good column for the most part. This is the next good column past test. He went out. He only threw the three passes. I think if you heard, like, the dialogue, and this is how starving we are in this town for a quarterback, and I'll put myself in the same bucket on the text chains I'm on or some of the, you know, doing an Instagram live right after the game, any of the stuff that I was doing breaking down the game this weekend, I'm as guilty of this as anyone because you get really excited after that big-time throw. But I think if you were to hear the reaction to the game and then go and look at the box score, and you see that he threw three passes, you're like, what? Wait a second?
Seriously,
what?
Guys?
Everyone's going crazy about these. And one of them is the one we're talking about that, like, is just a bad pass. The other one is amazing, incredible play. And the other was a wide receiver screen. So the sample size here is three, and it's basically one play that has everyone frothing at the mouth. But I think that's okay because there was so much good in the play before the ball even got snapped for a young quarterback. It was a telling play. It was a revealing play. That throw is what he made his money doing at LSU, by the way. Outside the numbers, down the field, his guy won, dropping it in the bucket. He's been doing that beautifully at training camp. And the big story, at least for the detractors coming out as a passer, was middle of the field in-breaking stuff. We haven't seen as much of that in practice, and we didn't see any of that in the game. It was only three throws, obviously. But I think he has a special ability on whatever that is. That, like, deep shot, sideline type throw down the field. He's been doing it for years. That is a strength. So for him to show that right away in a game makes you feel pretty good that
Indeed.
He can give you that right away in Tampa.
Yeah, it's eye of the beholder when it comes to the middle of the field type stuff that either didn't happen a lot because it couldn't happen a lot or because we have an unbelievably prolific offense with wide receivers that win on the outside. And we'll score 50 points a week just doing that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would imagine that he can't do it. There's no reason. He's got all the physical tools.
And that's where I was going.
He hasn't really done a lot of it yet.
Yeah, and that's where I was going. And you better believe, again, NFL teams are very aware of that on both sides, whether they were interested in acquiring him or now are going up against him. Let's see if he can. You're going to have to. Like, this is the league, dude. They will take things away. There are defensive coordinators who get paid a lot of money figuring out, what do you do best? What are you most comfortable with? All right, now I'll remove that. Now what are you going to do, right? So, again, I think there's a million parts to this process. Let's say he'd gone 0 for 3, fumbled a snap, and thrown a pick, right? What we'd be doing is saying, it's a really small sample. This is not something we should overreact to, good or bad. This is a really small sample, now that we have the sample as good. We shouldn't be overreacting to it. What we should be doing, though, is building sort of a viewpoint here based on, as you said, the reporting, based on some of the vibes that have kind of come out. And listen, I went back and looked. There are a million quotes. There are current players. See if I can find this quote real quick. There are current players who said this about a quarterback that's not Jaden Daniels. He's our future. I feel like we found our quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years. I truly believe that. Current players saying this about another quarterback. I know the guys are fired up. We got a dude back there. Not about Jaden Daniels.
Sam Howell.
Just last year. You could go back and find him for Carson Wentz and find him for name that dude. But it's hard to sell people on the nuance and how different it feels to me, but it really does. And maybe it's my own blind wish casting. Maybe it's my own hope that's kind of gotten in my way.
I said some of that, and I don't mean you and me necessarily, but people in town said some of that last year with Sam because he's younger than, say, a Wentz or a Fitzpatrick or whatever. But this is different. And it's just obvious to anybody. He's the number two overall pick. They've only had one of those. It was Robert Griffin. He's the Heisman Trophy winner at the top of the board. And he's got a skill set that in today's NFL could be tantalizing, which I want to get to. Here's what else I loved about his one drive. Designed runs and read option looks. He had the designed keeper for a touchdown, where he didn't really show any of the speed, but he got around the edge, was beautifully blocked. Mauling tight ends out front, including Cole Turner, I think John Bates on that play. Really, really well-called design play at the goal line. There's going to be a bunch of those, I think, this year. But several times, they didn't have any design keepers, nor should they in a preseason game. But the first play of the game was a read option look, essentially. It turned into inside zone because I'm sure they told him, hey, man, you're not keeping this. Brian Robinson's going off right tackle. but he can pull that and get around the edge. That was the first play of the game. There was a play later with Driscoll at quarterback, their number three. And when Jeff Driscoll was in the game,
after that penalty, so it was first and 18, I think, the one you're talking about?
I don't remember the down and distance, but he kept the football
on
what was a designed, like, read option type keeper. And they had Ben Sinnott blow a guy up on the left side of the formation.
Yep.
He went around the left side, and he ended up getting down for a nice rushing gain. And Driscoll showed off his legs a little bit there. He picked up 16 yards.
Yep.
A, if that's Jaden Daniels, it's twice that maybe. But B, that's in the playbook. Mm-hmm. And my point is, I know we've argued about this, and a lot of people have talked about this. He should be running a lot. I think they're going to run him a lot. And the threat of him in making teams play 11 on 11, what I covered back in 2012, is going to make his life so much easier as a passer, it's hard to even quantify. Ask Robert Griffin about the half the field reads and the one defender you've got to see. Is he coming up or is he going back? Is he sitting still? And if I read this one guy, then I know where I'm going with the football. The whole field opens up to him. But I think they're going to, just based on seeing a little bit of what the offense looked like, even when he wasn't in there, I think we're going to see him routinely like 7-8 carries, 60, 70 yards, something like that. And I think people are going to be really surprised that he runs a ton, and I am here for it. They got to keep him healthy. They've got to get to a point where they can trust him to protect his body. But I really do think that's going to be a big part of this offense, as well it should.
So I do too. And to me, that was less about, I think there's some good points by you in there. But the thing that I noticed is it's a lot of shotgun and a lot of, you know, the back kind of set to his left or to his right, which lends itself to those kinds of looks, right? So we're learning about Kingsbury's offense in real time. We've seen what he did at air raid style college offenses. We saw what he did with Kyler Murray, and we were wondering how much is that because you're in the Big 12 or how much of that is because your quarterback's 5'5".
We also probably haven't seen what they're actually going to run a lot of.
Right.
Because remember, in like the 2012 preseason, Griffin's first August, we never saw one play out of pistol.
There was no pistol.
Or basically any read option at all in the whole preseason. So there's maybe an entire different look come September anyway.
That's fair. But I guess the point I'm making is everything seemed to be in that our goal is to keep the defense flat-footed. Not a defensive lineman, obviously, because they're engaging, but everyone else has to sit and wait for us to go through what we're going to go through. And that's the philosophy. If our guys have a running start and your guys are sitting still, flat-footed, just guessing, trying to figure out where the ball's going to be, we're now at an advantage, whether it's run, pass, keeper, bootleg, and everything in between.
He's Danny. He is back in the saddle. I'm Grant. We can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you at 800-636-1067. The question being, what did you take out of what you saw from Jaden Daniels in his first preseason game? Super encouraging. I don't know how you could have watched and not felt really excited. My brother texted me. He's like, dude, bunch of yous in the dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did they finally get one? You know, I think that was the fan reaction. And again, I don't want to pour any cold water. I don't want cold water today. I think everyone should be excited. I've been asking for weeks, why isn't there more juice and excitement when this guy's having the training camp that he's having and putting together the practices that he is? But it was three passes. And there was one really good one, there was one really bad one, and there was a wide receiver screen. I just choose to, that really good one far outweighs it. Like, if the really bad one's worth a point, the really good one's worth 30 points for me.
Right.
And it's not only because of the downfield throw and the lob and the touch and the accuracy and all that stuff, which is what we've been seeing in practice constantly. It was, again, the acumen pre-snap. Also, just seeing them come out and the ability to run the football a little bit was great. Now, Danny, the Jets were without almost 30 players, and their entire starting defense was almost second stringers. I think they had three as a max, maybe two guys who were on the field for much of that drive that are actual starters. Washington had its first team offense out there almost exclusively for that drive. So there's some of that too, but you either feel really good coming out of a drive or they go three and out and you feel bad. And God, is it nice finally to get one of these. The 11 play, 70 yard, go down the field, do what you came here to do, and let's go put visors on.
Well, imagine they don't do that. Again, against mostly second stringers, third stringers, or whatever. And then we're going, oh no, is it a slow start, or what do we really know? Yeah, you can ask some questions. They're beating guys that may not necessarily be starters come September. I'd much rather them do that, though. I'd much rather them look good against mediocre opponents than the alternative, which we've seen before.
What'd you guys take out of the first three throws of that first drive for Jaden Daniels in his preseason opener? That's the question. At 800-636-1067, you're listening to G&D on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Jaden, I thought, was had just a real command of things to go. We knew it was going to be a fairly short time for he and for Marcus. We had planned for both of them to have a series. And then we would, change and move a change after that. So it was a great first day for him.
Dan Quinn in the Meadowlands postgame. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Now you have seen Jaden Daniels in game action. His preseason debut, 2 of 3, 45 yards, highlighted by a 42-yard looping completion down the sideline to Diami Brown. Question for you is, what'd you take out of the performance? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. Lines wide open for you on the MGM National Harbor listener lines today. 800-636-1067. First thing for me would be he continues to show an advanced understanding of what they want him to do offensively. When you are checking out of a play, didn't even really have permission to do it, which, by the way, we should get into in a minute, how great the Dan Quinn line was.
That's fascinating.
The Top Gun line was outstanding.
Uh-huh.
Permission to buzz the tower?
Negative goes right if the pattern is full. I'll do it anyway.
I'll just do it. Forgiveness over permission. It shows a lot, I think.
Indeed.
And we should realize that this is a confident dude who feels like he's ready to go out and start making plays. But I guess from a football standpoint, we didn't learn anything to me watching him throw the ball. I've seen him make that throw that he made in that game in practice several times. He made it all last year at LSU. I think just some of the concepts in their run game, like how they had backs in next to the quarterback when he was in the game and when he wasn't, keepers, those types of things you could do off of some of the looks, I think he's going to run a lot. And I find myself excited by that. I want him to. He's just got to be able. One of my fears is him protecting himself.
Yeah.
And there's no way to know if he's made adjustments there until we see it in a game.
Yeah, because that was a weakness in his unbelievable, ridiculous video game with the difficulty turned down season he just had last year. He and Joe Burrow, both LSU guys, had two of basically the best quarterbacked college seasons I have ever seen. Right? Burrow more prolific through the air. Daniels added unbelievable rushing totals. We had multiple games where he had over hundreds of yards, multiple rushing touchdowns, et cetera. It was incredible. But the shots he took, the hits, they just are so, you know, you get away with it for a while. Doesn't mean you're always going to get away with it. Again, it's the Robert Griffin corollary, right? Where, remember, from sometimes in the pocket or sometimes on some of those scrambles, trying to get that extra yard, he would get folded up in these incredibly uncomfortable ways that looked awful. And you'd cover your mouth. You'd be like, oh, my God. And he'd pop back up and be fine until he wasn't, right? It's that one hit. It's the Helodinata, one hit on that one cutback that changes your entire career. And that's what I'm terrified of. When it comes to Daniels, but I agree with you. I do think he's going to run a lot, maybe more than certainly I would. I would have it as a something that defensive coordinators had to worry about, but I don't think they're doing it that way. I think they're going.
What's your read on how the fan base feels coming out of that game? Because I hear things like he was amazing. It was a great performance. It was basically a throw. Like that's what we're excited about. If we really boil it down, it was a decision. It was a check at the line. It was a rep basically. Mm-hmm. He only had 11 plays. Eight of them, I think, or seven of them were handoffs to other people. So he threw it three times, and then he ran around the edge for a touchdown. I think two things can be true. You couldn't have asked for a better first drive. You couldn't have asked for a better soft landing spot. And also, it was just a couple plays, really, where we saw his skill set at all. So I stopped short of saying, like, what an amazing day. I think it was a couple of really nice moments.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a huge win for him, and early on, for this offense to get it going that way.
Without question. So let me think of it this way. Again, let's say he doesn't check out of that play. Let's say they run whatever they're supposed to run on 3rd and 6, a pass play that maybe gained 6.5 or 7 yards, right? So now we're matriculating down the field. We'll have a few more chances to see some throws, a few more chances for him to check out of something or not or otherwise. But the whole point of his skill set to me is the shortcut, right? There are a lot of guys that can take the football that snapped and try to go through a couple of reads and try to deliver the ball on time. They got a few other guys on the roster, guys named Sam Hartman and Jeff Driscoll and a bunch of other journeyman Jerrys that can do that same sort of thing. The whole point of a guy like Jaden Daniels, it's the same skill set of, and they're not the same player yet, but bear with me, of a Lamar Jackson, of a Josh Allen, of a Pat Mahomes, is the easy button, right? That's nice. We could, you know, work this, the backside of it with, I got a 3-by-1 formation. I'll try to have my third down war daddy barely make it past, the first down marker. We'll use the new Hawkeye to see if he got it or not. That's nice. That's great. That's good. A lot of teams have to do that. When I got the special thing, we need to use the special thing. That's the shortcut. That to me is what's so exciting about it. Because you saw other drives in this game where the quarterbacks made decent plays. Jeff Driscoll threw a dart in there on a, I think it was a third down conversion. Really nice play. Nice pass. That's cute. I don't care about that. The special thing. We saw the special thing. The whole point is the special thing.
Yeah, I'd love to see more. And I hope we get to against the Dolphins this weekend. They play Saturday night, 7 p.m. in Miami. They'll have joint practices before that. I guess it's possible, again, with the joint practices, that they give them a bunch of work on the practice field and then a very limited, controlled opportunity in the preseason game. That's certainly a possibility.
Yeah,
I want to see a quarter, or for me it would be great to see a half, but I don't think we're going to get that. But even a quarter of action would be pretty good, I'd say. I want to add more to the file, see what's what, see what's working, see what isn't, and just get more than three throws. But this leaves you wanting more, right? This gets you the juices flowing a little bit. I think the hairs on some people's arms and neck stand up a little bit and go, oh, that's exciting. I like what that looks like. That's a throw that I could get used to around here. But it's just a very, very small sample, obviously. And the other thing I try to always remember is there's a lot of big preseason performances. You know, like J.J. McCarthy, we'll get into all the rookies in a second, but I don't know if you watched him with the Vikings. And I do like J.J. McCarthy's game. I think he is going to be better than people think, but he lit it up this weekend.
Yeah, he was great.
You go back and you watch, and it's big-time, legit, accurate throws down the field. But I think it's a pretty basic look defensively. They're not really disguising coverages and rolling people, bracketing defenders. And you get a lot of that. So how much should we take out of these games? It's probably not gospel. It's not one-to-one necessarily. But I think I always say this about September baseball numbers and preseason football. I'd rather have a really good performance.
That's it.
And let people explain away why it doesn't matter that much than a really bad performance and say, ah, who cares? It's just the preseason.
Yeah, it's how I feel about nearly everything, right? I can never stand it when a guy that's supposed to be so great in college, for example, doesn't have good numbers, right? I'd much rather explain away inflated numbers. I'd much rather explain away, well, they played in the Big 12 or the air raid system and, you know, the numbers are gimmicky. I'd rather do that than go, well, it maybe you'll be better one day, right? You see what I'm saying? The same thing applies to me. I think it's not exactly one-to-one, but I think it's kind of close to my feeling about NBA Summer League, right? Where if you could play in NBA Summer League, that's awesome. Good for you. Does not mean you're an NBA star. It doesn't. If you can't, then we need to have alarm bells going off and everyone needs to freak out. And it's perfectly fine to take a small sample and go, oh my God, what are we doing? See what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know if it's exactly one-to-one. It's closer to that, though, for me, than it is a lot of ways to evaluate. So if he was a disaster, I think it's fair to have questions. He was not a disaster. It looked awesome.
Yeah, it was the opposite of that. And I think the word for me, if you're describing his performance, you get one word. I would just say encouraging. What would you have said?
Electric.
Electric feels strong. I mean, it was an electric throw.
Yep.
What else was electric there?
The ease that he jogged into the end zone. Again,
but you would have scored on that.
I wouldn't have, in fairness. I would have fallen down.
Any quarterback in the league would have.
It's just a reminder that everyone has to respect all the different things.
I also am excited about that. Like, the whole game, I had that vibe. Well, I should say the whole drive, where it's like, God, if he kept that, he might have gotten 15. Hey, if he kept that, he wouldn't have gotten 8. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I saw that. But, like, people are, like, I heard JB today of the Junk saying, like, that touch, after he saw him rush for that touchdown, he's like, I think he's going to run for 800 yards. He walked. I mean, I don't understand watching that play and being like, oh, my God, we got one. Like, quite literally, Brad Johnson would have scored on that. He would have done the Deion Sanders high knees with his hand.
It was just let everybody know.
You know, he is, if you want to get excited, watch his tape against Florida, where he outruns Tyreek Hill.
300 yards, yeah.
That's how you know the guy can fly. Let's go to Steve and Chevy Chase on G&D. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, bud.
He's dynamic, obviously, right? He's going to be a really good quarterback. But I think about Jonathan Allen and our veteran defenders who see his quarterback take his team downfield the first drive of the game and say, finally. How many times have we started out having to run out on the field after three and out to start the game? Enough. And the excitement in his eye when they ask him about, you know, he's being interviewed. I love it, man. I expect big things from him this year. But that's what I see is the effect it has on the rest of the team, even in the first preseason game. I just, right out the chute, man, here we go.
Yeah, there's something to that, Steven. We appreciate your call. Thank you, buddy, for making it. But I think there is something to, Danny, just the morale in the locker room being built. Players hear the excitement. When you draft a player too, when you get a Heisman Trophy winner, before he even shows up on site, and then you find out he's one of the guys, which it sounds like he is. He's really a likable kid that players and people like being around. Now you see him putting in the work. Now you see him making the awesome play in practice, making a big-time throw, doing something explosive with his feet. Real recognizes real guys, get excited. I think all that's true. And the fact that the Jets had basically their backups in the game, when you go down the field for 11-70, I don't think you care that much about that if you're in that bubble. If you're, you know, one of the players on the team, again, I got to play against whoever's on the field. I can't worry about who's out there.
Right.
It would have been really easy to go three and out or to have a pass dropped or for him to not have dropped that ball in the bucket to Diami. That was third and long. If that's incomplete or broken up or he throws too far to the sideline, his day is probably over 1-for-3 right there with a long shot down the sideline. But he didn't. He made the throw. He got you to the end zone. He ran it in and scored the touchdown. Yeah, I don't think a player really cares about the specifics. They come out of that game going, Jaden did his thing.
Well, to the caller's point as well, I mean, I know it seems anecdotal, like, oh my God, Washington's always behind. Well, they were last year. They were 30th in the league in first quarter points. Remember they went, I think it was like almost 3 months without a first quarter touchdown, if memory serves, right?
Yeah, and they went the entire season, I think, 1 year or 2 years before that with Scott Turner without a touchdown on the opening drive.
Exactly. And they were, I think, 32nd in the NFL in terms of halftime margin of either victory, in this case, defeat. Just they're always playing from behind, always playing catch up, always, you know, sort of sliding down the hill. And to be able to walk out early and score. Again, it is a preseason game against the Jets, a hodgepodge, no scheming, with a bunch of, you know, guys that probably aren't starting. But still, just that sigh of relief, right? All you can do is control that environment that day. And what they did that day was walk down the field and score. And it just, the snowball of good momentum can build.
At the top of the hour, we should get into the other drafted quarterbacks in the first round and how they fared in their preseason openers. A lot of strong performances around the league. But next, Team USA men's basketball gold medal for the Avengers. Steph Curry goes crazy at the end of the game and just an iconic performance. And you'll never guess which NFL star just asked for a trade. Again, you're listening to G&D.
Curry dancing on Batum over the double team.
NBC's telecast of the U.S. and France taking on one another for a gold medal at the Olympics. That was Noah Eagle on the call. And it was one of the legendary moments in recent basketball history. Steph Curry with a gold medal on the line, elevating the Americans. Like he did one game earlier against Serbia when he took over late and made sure they got to the gold medal game. Danny, he made four three-pointers in, I think, six possessions, might have been five possessions, down the stretch of the game. And the last of them, the fourth, was unbelievable. Just an incredible step back. Only Steph Curry attempts it. Only Steph Curry hits it off his left foot, fading away, defenders in his face. He had another three in that sequence with one of the great pictures I've seen in a long time with 7 foot 4 inch Victor Wembanyama.
Just full extension, you know, almost like swimming in the air after to try to block it. Yeah.
He had to throw it over top of him. Basically, like he's just throwing a basketball into the ocean, but it goes into the basket. What he did at the end of that game was one of the coolest sporting sequences I think I've seen in a long, long time.
Because he hadn't been the instrumental figure kind of throughout their run-up and in the prelims and, you know, kind of the round robin, even the quarterfinals, whatever.
That changed in the last two games.
Having that in your back pocket is a nice thing. Certainly the greatest shooter ever to live, knocking down some clutch jumpers. And it's one of those things where as I'm watching it, I'm going, what are you doing? No. Kevin Durant, the all-time leading scorer in Olympic history, is sitting there wide open on the opposite wing. I think there's even another player open in the opposite corner. That's a terrible shot. Oh, wait, it's Steph Curry. Great shot, Steph. Great job. You're in rhythm and you're feeling it by all means. Everyone else is second priority. If you're comfortable, even if you're a little bit uncomfortable, if it's coming off your right hand, God bless. Enjoy the space.
No, they all knew.
Yep.
That was a heat check. It was a, you're taking this shot. But what's funny is so did France. So they're running guys at him left and right. There's defenders all around, and he basically is just trying to get a guy off the dribble. He can't do it, so he's got to basically run away from the basket, fall away, throw a ball up toward the rafters to come down. I mean, just off balance. An amazing shot, an amazing sequence, four threes in a row. So if you look at Steph Curry's final two games, his first four in the tournament, he scored 29 points. In his last two, he scored 60. He grabbed 9 rebounds in those two games, had 7 assists. But the story was the three-point ball. He was 5 of 20 through 4 games. In the last two games, Serbia to get to the gold medal game and then beating France to win gold. 17 of 26 from 3 for Steph Curry.
Unbelievable.
17 of 26, including the 4 for 4 down the stretch.
Again, it just reminds you that when you are not the single... when he's not the single focal point of an offense, like if you watch him in Golden State, when he's not handling the ball, he's running off 77 different screens. And the entire operation is designed to get him a look with his feet semi-set. When you've got Hall of Famer over there, Hall of Famer over there, Hall of Famer back here, and potential Hall of Famer in there, sometimes you're going to have some space to run around. Man, oh man. Just to remind you, like, he's that good that if you don't pay 100% defensive attention to him, even if you do sometimes, it's still going through for three.
Olympic basketball is so fun. It's just great. And it's even more fun when the Americans weren't blowing teams out, as weird as that is to say.
Mm-hmm.
But that Serbian club hung with them, and that came down to the wire. In fact, that game with 5 minutes left, I'd say USA loses that 8 out of 10 times. You know, a lot of things had to go their way and did. And then France, to their credit,
yeah,
hung. I mean, they were right there till the final couple of possessions. And how about our buddy, Bilal Coulibaly, getting some big minutes early in that game, holding his own, playing good defense? That was really good to see.
It was big picture, yes, it was good to see. I'm kind of going, maybe later. Not now. Maybe a different tournament, buddy, against the Americans. But it was cool to see in the other games, too. But, yeah, it's a big picture. You look at the number of lottery picks. You look at the number of guys from France. It's not just some fluky, weird thing. Oh, because they have Wembanyama. It's the entire program is good.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a couple other places. I mean, it's remarkable to think about. You mentioned the blowouts. Back in 92, that was such a novelty. And that was so fun because nobody was close. That's the greatest collection of talent slash guys in their primes, Hall of Famers, whatever you want to call it, that's ever been assembled, in my opinion. That was the most dominant thing I have ever seen to date before or since. And it was in response to other teams send pros. We're sending our college kids. We're a little bit sick of this. Watch this. And we're going to grow the game. It was a win for everybody except the other countries who had to face the dream team. But those games were so much fun because it was a coronation ceremony. These were fun because it's otherwise, you know, sort of strange bedfellows, right? It's like teams that are fighting each other in the Western Conference. Anthony Edwards has to pass to Anthony Davis and, you know, everything in between. And they're able to come together and overcome these teams that are, frankly, better teams because they play together a lot more. And these guys are kind of thrown together. Egos are sacrificed and anybody can be the hero. In this case, it was Curry.
The one thing that I saw after the game that was annoying to me was LeBron has 3 gold medals.
Mm-hmm.
And I even saw it today on ESPN with Kendrick Perkins saying, like, this now ends the debate because Jordan only had 2 golds. First of all, please understand that Jordan and the professionals didn't play in the Olympics until midway into his career. That's number one. But number two, what a stupid thing. I'm sorry. That's just... If you're trying to make fetch happen and pretend like LeBron's the guy, then you're going to have to grasp at some stupid straws. That's a pretty stupid one. I got to tell you.
That's an all-timer.
But congratulations to LeBron and Team USA on gold medal number 3 for him and continuing the run of American dominance in the Olympics in men's basketball. I told you, though, I teased this, so we got to pay this off. There is a star NFL player who is demanding a trade. Hassan Reddick, who was traded from the Eagles to the Jets this offseason because the Eagles weren't going to pay him what he wanted. He went to the Jets. They did not redo his deal. Even though he wanted a new deal, he's been holding out. He's not shown up for work. He hasn't been at their facility for one day of work yet. He is demanding a trade from the Jets now. They just got him. He's never played for them. And now he wants to be traded from the Jets because they can't work out a contract. Reddick has had at least 11 sacks in each of the last 4 seasons. Sack counts, Arizona, Carolina, Philadelphia of 12.5, 11, 16, 11. He's become one of the better pass rushers in the league, one of the leading sack artists in football over the last 4 years, but he'll be on his 4th team in 5 years if he can get a trade, and it'll be the second time this offseason he forced a trade.
Wild. Wild.
I don't know how anybody at this point could trade the picks and get a deal done that satisfies him with the money they've got left over. It's got to be complicated.
Yeah, and you also wonder, you know, did the Jets have eyes wide open? Did they think they were going to be able to get a deal done? You'd imagine they'd have some confidence that they'd be able to structure something or get it going with him. The fact that he hasn't set foot on campus at all is just stunning.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've been discussing Jaden Daniels this hour. What about the other rookie quarterbacks who made their preseason debuts? We will get into what we saw from Caleb Williams and the rest of the first rounders at quarterback next on Grant and Danny.
Curry dancing on Batum over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger!
NBC's telecast of the U.S. and France taking on one another for a gold medal at the Olympics. That was Noah Eagle on the call. And it was one of the legendary moments in recent basketball history. Steph Curry with a gold medal on the line, elevating the Americans like he did one game earlier against Serbia when he took over late and made sure they got to the gold medal game. Danny, he made 4 3-pointers in, I think, 6 possessions, might have been 5 possessions, down the stretch of the game. And the last of them, the 4th, was unbelievable. Just an incredible step back. Only Steph Curry attempts it. Only Steph Curry hits it. Off his left foot, fading away, defenders in his face. He had another 3 in that sequence with one of the great pictures I've seen in a long time with 7 foot 4 inch Victor Wembanyama.
Just full extension, you know, almost like swimming in the air after to try to block it. Yeah.
He had to throw it over top of him. Basically like he's just throwing a basketball into the ocean, but it goes into the basket. What he did at the end of that game was one of the coolest sporting sequences I think I've seen in a long, long time.
Because he hadn't been the instrumental figure kind of throughout their run-up and in the prelims and, you know, kind of the round robin, even the quarterfinals, whatever.
That changed in the last two games.
Having that in your back pocket is a nice thing. Certainly the greatest shooter ever to live, knocking down some clutch jumpers. And it's one of those things where as I'm watching it, I'm going, what are you doing? No. Kevin Durant, the all-time leading scorer in Olympic history, is sitting there wide open on the opposite wing. I think there's even another player open in the opposite corner. That's a terrible shot. Oh, wait, it's Steph Curry. Great shot, Steph. Great job. You're in rhythm and you're feeling it by all means. Everyone else is second priority. If you're comfortable, even if you're a little bit uncomfortable, if it's coming off your right hand, God bless. Enjoy the space.
No, they all knew.
Yep.
That was a heat check. It was a, you're taking this shot. But what's funny is so did France. So they're running guys at him left and right. There's defenders all around, and he basically is just trying to get a guy off the dribble. He can't do it, so he's got to basically run away from the basket, fall away, throw a ball up toward the rafters to come down. I mean, just off balance. An amazing shot, an amazing sequence, 4 threes in a row. So if you look at Steph Curry's final two games, his first four in the tournament, he scored 29 points. In his last two, he scored 60. He grabbed 9 rebounds in those two games, had 7 assists. But the story was the three-point ball. He was 5 of 20 through 4 games. In the last two games, Serbia to get to the gold medal game and then beating France to win gold, 17 of 26 from 3 for Steph Curry.
Unbelievable.
17 of 26, including the 4-for-4 down the stretch.
Again, it just reminds you that when you are not the single... when he's not the single focal point of an offense, like if you watch him in Golden State, when he's not handling the ball, he's running off 77 different screens, and the entire operation is designed to get him a look with his feet semi-set. When you've got Hall of Famer over there, Hall of Famer over there, Hall of Famer back here, and potential Hall of Famer in there, sometimes you're going to have some space to run around. Man, oh man. Just to remind you, like, he's that good that if you don't pay 100% defensive attention to him, even if you do sometimes, it's still going through for 3.
Olympic basketball is so fun. It's just great. And it's even more fun when the Americans weren't blowing teams out, as weird as that is to say.
Mm-hmm.
But that Serbian club hung with them, and that came down to the wire. In fact, that game with 5 minutes left, I'd say USA loses that 8 out of 10 times. I mean, a lot of things had to go their way and did. And then France, to their credit, hung. I mean, they were right there till the final couple of possessions. And how about our buddy, Bilal Coulibaly, getting some big minutes early in that game, holding his own, playing good defense? That was really good to see.
It was big picture, yes, it was good to see. I'm kind of going, maybe later. Not now. Maybe a different tournament, buddy, against the Americans. But it was cool to see in the other games, too. But, yeah, it's a big picture. You look at the number of lottery picks. You look at the number of guys from France. It's not just some fluky, weird thing, because they have Wembanyama. It's the entire program is good,
yeah.
Right? And there's a couple other places. I mean, it's remarkable to think about. You mentioned the blowouts. Back in 92, that was such a novelty, and that was so fun because nobody was close. That's the greatest collection of talent / guys in their primes, Hall of Famers, whatever you want to call it, that's ever been assembled, in my opinion. That was the most dominant thing I have ever seen to date before or since. And it was in response to other teams send pros. We're sending our college kids. We're a little bit sick of this. Watch this, and we're going to grow the game. It was a win for everybody except the other countries who had to face the Dream Team. But those games were so much fun because it was a coronation ceremony. These were fun because it's otherwise, you know, sort of strange bedfellows, right? It's like teams that are fighting each other in the Western Conference. Anthony Edwards has to pass to Anthony Davis and, you know, everything in between. And they're able to come together and overcome these teams that are, frankly, better teams because they play together a lot more. And these guys are kind of thrown together. Egos are sacrificed, and anybody can be the hero. In this case, it was Curry.
The one thing that I saw after the game that was annoying to me was LeBron has 3 gold medals.
Mm-hmm.
And I even saw it today on ESPN with Kendrick Perkins saying, like, this now ends the debate because Jordan only had 2 golds. First of all, please understand that Jordan and the professionals didn't play in the Olympics until midway into his career. That's number one. But number two, what a stupid thing. I'm sorry. That's just... If you're trying to make fetch happen and pretend like LeBron's the guy, then you're going to have to grasp at some stupid straws. That's a pretty stupid one. I got to tell you.
That's an all-timer.
But congratulations to LeBron and Team USA on gold medal number 3 for him and continuing the run of American dominance in the Olympics in men's basketball. I told you, though, I teased this, so we got to pay this off. There is a star NFL player who is demanding a trade. Hassan Reddick, who was traded from the Eagles to the Jets this offseason because the Eagles weren't going to pay him what he wanted. He went to the Jets. They did not redo his deal, even though he wanted a new deal. He's been holding out. He has not shown up for work. He hasn't been at their facility for one day of work yet. He is demanding a trade from the Jets now. They just got him. He's never played for them. And now he wants to be traded from the Jets because they can't work out a contract. Reddick has had at least 11 sacks in each of the last four seasons. Sack counts, Arizona, Carolina, Philadelphia of 12.5, 11, 16, 11. He's become one of the better pass rushers in the league, one of the leading sack artists in football over the last 4 years. But he'll be on his fourth team in 5 years if he can get a trade. And it'll be the second time this offseason he forced a trade.
Wild. Wild.
I don't know how anybody at this point could trade the picks and get a deal done that satisfies him with the money they've got left over. It's got to be complicated.
Yeah, and you also wonder, you know, did the Jets have eyes wide open? Did they think they were going to be able to get a deal done? You'd imagine they'd have some confidence that they'd be able to structure something or get it going with him. The fact that he hasn't set foot on campus at all is just stunning.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've been discussing Jaden Daniels this hour. What about the other rookie quarterbacks who made their preseason debuts? We will get into what we saw from Caleb Williams and the rest of the first rounders at quarterback next on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.